Praise God. Father. Father God, we just thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that all over this world, people are celebrating that Jesus has died and he's risen again. And we are so thankful that Jesus, you said that you would come. You said that you would die. You said you'd come out again. And we are thankful that you have come out of the grave. Father, I pray today that everybody in this place would hear and know how great you are and what you've done. That they would be changed. They would be different when they leave. I'm believing this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, thank you everybody who rearranged things. It's been a fun couple of months and I appreciate it. I give handouts. One, I put the scriptures on there. And two, you can go home and study. Because we're supposed to study the word. So if you did not get one of these, raise your hand. Okay, here we go. I don't know where, here we go. Got some more? Do we have more papers? Okay. Let's just give a hand to all our ushers because they have done triple duty today. I had them running. All right, so those of you that still need one, okay, there's some more. Here we go. Right in this row with the Kennedy bunch here. Raise your, yep, you see the Kennedy bunch? There we go. All right, is anybody hot or it's just me? It's just me. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to do that. Let's see. Hey, how many of you are not normally here? You're a guest today. We're really glad you came. Yeah. Thanks for coming. You're good. How many of you came because it was about a kid? Yeah, you know, our kids do wonderful things for us. We love it. Well, listen, we're really appreciate that you came. I'm just going to talk for a little bit, and what I'd like to talk about is I believe that there are things that keep people away from God. I believe there are things that keep people away from God, and I want to talk about that so we can clear it up. So this is Easter. We believe that we celebrate it because we believe Jesus came, he died, and he rose again. And one of the reasons is why Jesus came, he came to close the gap. He came to close the distance. So I want to talk about how Jesus did that, all righty? And it's real interesting is I've talked to people over the years that many, many people, I can't even count how many people will say, Pastor D, you know, I'd be in church, but God's mad at me. And you wouldn't want me to come in church because lightning would strike because God's mad at me. I hear people say that all the time. And then they'll say, you know, God, you know, I've done too many wrong things. I couldn't come. God wouldn't want me to come. So there's some perceptions that people have that keep them away from God. And I want to talk about that. All right. So we can get rid of that. So I want to talk about, well, first, I've got some props up here. The first one was my good attempt at making a fence. So everybody say, Pastor, that's a pretty good-looking fence. Okay, that's a fence, okay? And then, obviously, we have the ladder, and you're going to pray that I can walk up and down because I'm the only time I wear heels twice a year, Christmas and Easter, so I'm supposed to walk up and down there, and that's our trash can. So we're going to talk about that. But I want to talk about how we close the gap between God. Because people think that there's this big gap, and I want to talk about how to close it. And, you know, really, our desire is to reach people who are far from God, reach people who think there's a big distance from God. So, therefore, maybe you're here today, and you'd say, hey, Pastor D, you know, I'm not even here. I'm out in the parking lot far from God. Or, you know, I don't even, I'm not walking with Jesus. That's okay. We are just delighted you're here. We are not judging anybody. We are just welcoming you and say, hey, come on, I'm glad you're here. But I hope you have some ears open and we're going to talk about this stuff, how to close the gap. So the first thing is this fence. Now, the fence, a lot of times people look at this like their relationship with God. People look at their relationship with God and they think there's this fence. And they think they're on this side of the fence and they think God is on the other side. A lot of people have this concept, this idea, and it's actually wrong. And I'm going to tell you why later. But there's so many people that believe that I'm over here because I've done things wrong. and God's over here. Matter of fact, God's probably way over there, because if you knew all the stuff that I've done wrong, you would put me back here and you'd move God way over there. So there's people that believe that there's this fence, and this fence separates them. God's over here. I'm over here. You know, excuse me, I'm over here and God's over there because of things I've done. So this fence is a concept that people have in their mind that keep a big distance between them and God. And I want to prove to you that this is not true. This, now you may believe that, but I'm going to tell you it's not right. And matter of fact, God never sees you with a big distance. God doesn't see this. This isn't how God looks at people. All righty. So I'm going to talk about why I believe it's wrong. And I'm going to do it by telling a story. It's in the book of Genesis. It's about God's creation. Now, I believe the scripture's true, and we believe this story's true. So in the book of Genesis talks about how God created the earth and the heavens. And then God created mankind. God created Adam and Eve. And God put them in a garden. All right, after he created them, and he put them in there, and he said, listen, you're going to go in this garden, and I want you to take care of the garden, and you can have all the fun you want, but I don't want you to do this one thing. Now, how many of you of parents have ever told your kids, you can do this, this, and this, but don't do this one thing? And you know what they do? The one thing you told them not to do. Anybody have some kids that have never done that? You left them directions. You can do this, this, and this, but don't you come home. Are you kidding me? Okay, how many of you were that kid? Oh, gee. Hallelujah. That's what keeps parents praying. All right. But the real deal is that God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and he gave them directions, and he said, there's just one thing I don't want you to do. And they did it. They sinned. Now, what happened after they sinned, Adam and Eve decided, you know what? We better go hide. So they went and hid away from God. And the thing is, scripture tells you just in Genesis that every day God would come down into the garden. Every day, God would come down into the garden and he'd hang out and talk with Adam and Eve. Every day, we would say fellowship, but he'd just talk with them. But that day, when Adam and Eve did the one thing they weren't supposed to, when we call that sin, they went and hid. They went and hid from God. And you know what happened afterwards? God came down to the garden, like he always did, and he's looking for them. And he's like, and he can't find them. So you know what he did? God comes down to the garden that day after they sinned. And he says, hey, where are you guys? And they're hiding. They're hiding over here. As a matter of fact, they know they did the one thing. So they're not even hiding under the fence. They are hiding way far, 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 far away from God. And they believe there's this big distance because they did the one thing. And you know what God did that day? That I'll tell you that this fence, this concept that people have, that there's a fence because I've made so many mistakes. I've really blown it. I'm just, you know, a perpetual mistaker. All right. You know what God did that day? He jumped the fence. Now, I'm not jumping. But that day, God jumped the fence. And what he did was he went looking for them. So when people have this idea, man, Pastor D, I bet I've had a half dozen people say, hey, why don't you come to YCF sometime? Pastor D, you don't want me to come because lightning would strike if I came to church. They believe this fence. Okay, but God jumped the fence and he went after mankind. He went after Adam and Eve, and he went after mankind. So when people say, Pastor D, there's this fence, I'm like, no, the fence is in your mind, but not in God's. Because God went after them after they blew it. That's the kind of God that we have, that we serve, and he's wonderful, and he goes after people. There's a scripture in Ephesians 2. Let me find. All right, turn over here. How about turn over to Ephesians 2. I better read it. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2. Hallelujah. Skipping around here, I'm trying to find my scripture. Oh, yeah. In Ephesians 2, it talks about, Ephesians 2, 8, you can check me out later. I can't remember where it is. But it says that in the scriptures that we were once far from God. And everybody was once far from God, but God came looking for us, and we don't have to stay far from God. So this concept, when people say, Pastor D, my relationship, or rather the relationship I don't have, is because of this fence. And I'm going to tell you, no, God came looking for us. God came looking for us. Okay, the second concept, what is it on your number two on your ladder here? The ladder. Okay, number two, the ladder. The number two of the ladder has to do with good works. Okay, I'm skipping around. Sorry about it. The latter is good works. These good works is I came to Easter Sunday. I get to go up the ladder. I came on Christmas twice a year. I get to go up the ladder. Oops, I messed up. I have to go down the ladder. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. This year, I remembered to get a birthday present for my wife. I get to go up the ladder and get closer to God. And, you know, the other day, I took all my kids to the park so my wife could clean the house. Yeah, that was nice. And so I'm getting closer to God. Whoops. Okay. I may be closer to God. You better pray. All right. So we do things in life. This is a concept that people have. I have to do things in life so I can get closer to God. But what happens when I mess up? Oh, well, you have to go all the way down. All right? So people have concepts and ideas that are wrong. And the scripture now is Ephesians 2:8. Here we go. I know where I am. Ephesians 2:8. Here we go. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So that tells me that I can't climb this ladder to get close to God by doing all sorts of good things. I can't climb that ladder to get closer to God by doing good things. That's not true. Now, if it was true, I am sure we would have people, not in this place, but we would have people who would just love to tell you how good they are and how much you are not. Because they would probably say something like this. You know, I read my Bible more than you, so I'm closer to God. I go to church, so I'm closer to God. And I'm not getting up on the next one. I love Jesus more than you, so I'm closer to God. All right? And the problem when people have that mentality is, along comes me. Along comes me. And you're telling me all how great you are because you do all these things and you are getting closer, or you are close to God. And I'm looking at my life and I'm going, holy Toledo. I make mistakes all the time. Matter of fact, why would I even try to go up this ladder? I don't go to church. Matter of fact, then I can't be a Christian. So I might as well not even try. And you know, a lot of places give us that mentality. And I'm going to call it religion. A lot of people have this religious mentality, and they make you feel that unless you're climbing and doing good things, you're going to get close to God. All right, and that's not true. That is absolutely not true. So this fence is wrong. This ladder's wrong. All right, now that scripture says the only way that you get to God is through Jesus Christ. And your works don't get you to Jesus Christ. And I want to say, thank goodness, because I'm just not good at doing being good, all those good works all the time. All right? So this ladder, if you have this concept that the ladder doing all these good things is going to get you to God, and then along comes me, I just quit. I guess I'll never get to God. I'll never be a Christian. I'll never, you know, have this great life because I just keep muffing up. Anybody have some muff-ups in life? Okay, so this is wrong, and God doesn't see that way. As a matter of fact, if you look at the life of Jesus when he was walking around the earth, most of the time he did not spend time in church. If he did, he was having a good time with those religious people. But most of the time, he was on the streets with just everyday Joe Schmoes. Okay, he hung out with people. That's the way Jesus' life was. And you know what he said? I did not come for the healthy. The healthy. I came for the sick. That's what Jesus said. And in Luke 19. Why don't you flip over there? Luke 19, verse 10. This is what Jesus said. I did not come for those who think they've got it all together. No, that's what I said. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save those that are lost. And my interpretation is he didn't come for those that think they've got it all together because they're doing all these things, all these good things. And a lot of people think if I do all these good things, if I'm really nice and if I help everybody, then I'm going to get close to God. Matter of fact, okay? But Jesus said, I did not come for those that are healthy. I came for those who are sick and lost. So that mentality is not true. All right. So all you trying, and I came out of a particular denomination. They were really big on you have to do good works to get to know God. And if anything, it kept me farther away. So when I found out this was not true, I was like, praise the Lord. I have a hope. All right. My last one. Here we go. With my garbage can. Do you know they come and clean the building on Saturday? So I had expected to find all sorts of trash. And this place is clean as a whistle. So I was like, oh, darn. All righty. So here's my trash can. And I'm just going to put a bag in here. This is my last concept or idea that a lot of people have in their relationship from God. A lot of people believe basically this means my life has become a garbage can. My life has become a garbage can because I've done so many things that aren't good, that aren't right, that aren't wrong. I lie. I do all sorts of other things. So people believe that their life has become a garbage can. And this usually happens because all through life you've had these bad things happen. And the more these bad things happen and the more things that I do and the more I feel like my life has become a trash can. Actually, I have become this trash can. I feel like this trash can. I feel really unattractive because of my life and the things that I've done. Okay, now, how many of you would bring this trash can home today? Say it was got all the gooky, stinky stuff in it, and you'd bring it into your living room. Or you'd bring it right next to your kitchen table or your dining room table where you're going to have dinner. And you're going to place it right up here, right next to you while you have dinner. How many people would bring that into their house? I'm not letting you bring it into my house. Okay? No. But that, because that's got dirty, stinky stuff. Okay, let me tell you a story. So I was bringing in the trash can. So my trash gets picked up on Friday morning. So Jesse brings it out and I bring them in because I get home first. So I'm bringing in the trash can and I open up, not the recycling one, the regular, and it reeks. And I'm like, wait a minute, did they forget to take? So I'm getting close to it. As a matter of fact, I'm walking close to it and it's just reeking. It is stinking. And I'm like, what is that stink? Did they forget to take my trash? I open it up and it's empty. I'm going, what? When I opened it up, I was like, and I peek my head in there And there is this nice little clear baggie tied in a knot with poop in it. See, I said poop in church. Okay. I was like, oh, one of those dog walkers. Oh, thank you. Yeah, okay. All right, that had nothing to do. Yeah, so sometimes your life feels like trash. And, you know, sometimes you feel, oh, man, my life is like trash. I have done so many things wrong. I have made so many mistakes. I have messed up my family. I've messed up everybody else's life because I just keep making mistakes. I feel so unattractive. I feel like the trash can. But actually, that's not how God looks at us. Hallelujah. God does not look at us like that. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. So I want to tell you, this is not true. God does not look at you like that. I'm going to move it out of the way. Here we go. God does not look at you like that. 2 Corinthians, say praise the Lord when you find it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And the guys can put it up on the screen so you can all yell, praise the Lord, Pastor D. We are just faster than lightning. Yeah. All right. You are not a trash can. You are not unattractive to God. God does not look at you that way. God never sees you that way. And this scripture says, and they've got the New Living Translation, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, no matter what you were before, the person who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Old life is gone. The new has begun. Then in Isaiah 61, verse 3, it says, this is what Jesus was going to do for all that would come to him. Okay, this is the scripture, Isaiah 61, verse 3, is what Jesus would do for us. He said he would come to console all those who mourn in Zion, but this is the best part, to give them beauty for ashes. This is why I know this garbage can concept. I feel like trash. I feel unattractive to God. I know it's not real. Because Jesus came to give you beauty for ashes. Actually, what happened, God says, I'm going to make a trade with you. I'm going to take all of your trash. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it, and you are going to become beautiful and new and clean. That's what Jesus does for you. So you think there's this big distance because you think this trash, this is who you are? No, that's not according to this scripture. He says, I'll give you beauty for ashes. I'll make a trade with you. So he will trade all of your mistakes and muff-ups. So this first concept, some people believe that there's a fence. They're on one side and God is far, 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 far away. That's not true. God came and he jumped the fence. There's nothing that separates you. You can go to God. So that's not true. The second concept that's not true is you have to climb the ladder to get close to God. I have to do all these good works. And if I don't do them, man, I slid down the ladder again. But if I keep trying to do these good works, I'll be close to God. That's not true. All right? Because Jesus did all the works for us. Period. End of sentence. So we don't have to try to do that to get close to God. And the last one, the trash can, we're not a trash can. The day that God sent Jesus, he said, I would take all of this and I would take it away and away from you and clean it, clean you up. You're clean. You're brand new. And he'd give you a new life. So those three concepts aren't new, aren't true. They're also not new. The last one, I'm going to say the last is best. If you guys could pop the picture of the door. I was trying to figure out if we had a door I could bring in this place. And I did not want to go to Lowe's just to buy a door. So we're going to look up here. All right. The door. This is Jesus talks about doors in several places throughout the Bible. Okay. The first one we're going to look over in is in John. Okay. You want to turn to John 10. Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus says, I am the door. John 10, verse 7. He says, Jesus says to them, most assuredly I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And then jump down to verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. So Jesus says, I am the door. Now Jesus says something else about doors. And totally different. This one here, he says, I am the door. But if you look down in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, this is the cool part. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So this word dine, well, like, oh, Jesus is coming for lunch today. Okay, I got to set another place. What does this word dine mean? It means dine, especially back in that day. If you were going to dine with somebody, it would mean you would go over there and you would spend a lot of time with them. And you would eat with them and talk with them and eat with them and have fun with them and eat with them and connect with them and eat with them. Okay, so anybody going to do that today with some people? All right, well, yes, good. All right, so what does that really mean? So let's read that again. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. I will come into him and dine with him and he will be with me. So what Jesus is saying is, I am going to knock at the door of your heart. I am going to knock at the door of your heart. And all you have to do is open the door. It's really simple. It's not complicated. All right? All you have to do is knock at the door. So somebody would say, well, listen, I know that God is not going to knock at my door. Because if you only knew all the things I did. No, no, no. It says, let's read it again. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and dine with him and him with me. So today, if you're thinking, I'm that person, Jesus isn't going to knock at my door. You know, he's probably going to walk by. That's not true. Jesus said, I would knock at the door of your heart. He's coming to knock at the door of your heart. So people tell me, well, Pastor D, you know, you just don't know all the stuff I've done. No, this scripture says Jesus comes to knock at the door of your heart. He doesn't say he comes because your door's red and mine's purple and yours is white. And I'm only coming to purple houses today with purple doors. So I have purple doors. No, he says, I will come and knock at the door of your heart. Okay? You know, I have people, how about this? Let's just say somebody walked up to you today and they said, hey, did you ever ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life? Did you ever ask Jesus to come into your life? And Derek said, yes. And then he said, well, I did that, you know, when I was a teen back at youth camp. All right. Or maybe you'd say, oh, I did that. Let me see. 10. I did that 20 years ago. But I feel distant from God because of how my life is now. I feel like that fence. I feel like I'm on this side because of what I've been doing in life, and I feel God is far, far down at the coffee bar over there. All right? Listen, Jesus said, I'm going to come and knock at the door of your heart. And he just wants to knock at the door of your heart. And all he's asking you to do is open the door of your heart and let him come in. Would you open the door and let him come in? That's all he's asking. He's not asking you to climb ladders, all right? He's not asking you to have a clean garbage can. So let me tell you what happens when you open the door. Because, you know, when you get ready, especially if you're nowadays because you've got the internet, but you're researching before you buy something. Anybody research before you buy something? You're looking at all the fine print and all the smells and bells and how good it is. Well, you ought to look at the smells and bells before you open the door. All right? Let me tell you what happens if you open the door. Number one, Jesus said, I'd forgive your past. I would forgive your past. If you open the door and you let him come in, he said, I'd forgive your past. Anybody have a past? Woo-hoo, I'm going to close my eyes. Okay, I close my eyes because I have a past. And Jesus says, I would forgive your past. And then he says, I just would erase it. I'd remember it no more. So is that a good thing? To open the door and let him come in, he'd forgive your past? Shh, absolutely. Second thing he would do is he would give you a future that's full of hope. He'd give you a future that's full of hope. And some of us have lost all hope because we are stuck and not in great places. So if you hear him knock, open the door and let him come in. He says, I will give you a life that's full of hope. It'll be better. I like better. And the last one, he said, if you open the door, he will give you a life of guilt that's changed into a life of freedom. How many of you walk around or have walked around with guilt because some of the things you've done? Man, that used to, you know, I'd get up in the morning and it would just be stuck in my throat, the guilt of some of the things that I've done. But when Jesus knocks on the door of your heart and you open him up, he says, I'll take that guilt. I'll take that guilt. And it'll just, when I come in, I'll set you free. All right. So is it a good deal when he knocks on the door and you open him up and let him in? Yeah. You should have seen my life. It's a really good deal. So let's talk about how you open the door. Turn over John 3:16. If you've been raised in children's ministry, it's probably the first scripture you learn, John 3:16. But today I want you to look at it because I'm not going to so much focus on 16. I want us to look at verse 17 and 18. And usually we stop at verse 16. Okay, so John 3:16, and we're going to look at, wait, I'm not there. Hold on. Praise God. I got all my little stickies in here so I can do this fast. Sort of fast. Here we go. How do we open the door? This is the scripture. How do we open the door? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, but God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Underline, if you've got a Bible, condemn. Or else on your piece of paper, write that. Condemn. God did not send his son to condemn us. That's what it means. God did not send his son to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe in him is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of his only begotten son. All right. So what's he saying here? The best way I can explain this. Let's say you went to a prison here in Pennsylvania, went up to Camp Hill to visit somebody. And the person that you're visiting, let's say they're in there because they robbed a convenience store and they got caught. So they're in prison. They're up at Camp Hill. All right. And now they're there and they're going to get out in a while. Right. But they're not there because they're condemned to death, are they? No, they're not there because they have a death sentence, are they? No, they're going to get out eventually. OK, but let's say you go to one of the prisons that we have here in Pennsylvania that they have a death row on. They have a death row and you go to see somebody who's on death row. What does death row mean? You are condemned for death, right? You are condemned to die. Someone who's on death row, they're what? Condemned to die. Well, all of us in this place, before Jesus came to the earth and died on the cross and rose again, we were all condemned to death. Now, not death like I stop breathing and I'm dead. Okay, the death they're talking about there is spiritually dead. That means I was separated from God. Death, separated from God. Death, I will not live with Jesus forever. Separated from God. Death. Okay. All right. All right. Death, separated from God. All right. When Jesus came, he closed the distance that you don't have to be condemned. You don't have to have a death sentence. And so when Jesus says, I'm knocking at the door of your heart, all you have to do is open it up and say, yes, Lord, I would like you to come in so I don't have a death sentence. I don't have to. And actually, you can choose to, but you don't have to. You can choose to, but you don't have to, because Jesus died, he went to the grave, and he rose again. And the one main thing he did when he died and he went into the grave and he rose again, he did one main thing. He closed the gap between me and him and between you and him. So there's no more gap that separates you. And all you have to do is say, I hear your knocking at my heart, and I would like you to come in. Because I'm tired of this and this. So he's here and he's saying, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Now, some people will say, yeah, but Pastor D, you don't know all that I've done. I've been such a great, let's call you sinner. I'm the greatest sinner. And that means you're telling me that you don't think that Jesus is great enough and that his blood did not pay a price that he could forgive your sins. So that's not true. I'm such a great sinner. I got news, you're all great sinners until because we were, and that we were once far away. But Jesus knocks on the door, and I believe I can hear him saying today, hey, I'm knocking at doors. I'm knocking on your heart. Can you hear me? Would you like me to come in? You have to open the door. You have to open the door. It's that simple. So I'm going to let you out of here and real early today. But first, I'd like to pray. And I think I'm just going to ask if you just close your eyes. Just, you know, no looking around. It was real interesting. I was with a pastor, and he said, you know, I had this person over. It's actually his son's girlfriend who doesn't know the Lord, Jesus. And he said, when we prayed, she didn't bow her head. I said, well, you didn't tell her. And number two, she didn't know. I didn't, you know, if you don't know, you don't know. But I'm going to ask you today, if you just bow your heads as a point of reverence, and if you just close your eyes. And I want to ask you this. If you believe that there's a fence keeping you away from God, I want to tell you, God's jumped the fence. Or if you believe that you've just tried so hard and you've just kindly just said, I am fed up of trying to climb this fence and, climb this ladder and I'm done. Or if you think, you know, I'm just done feeling unattractive, well, today's a good day to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. And he is called a gentleman. He never forces himself to come into your life. Now, Granny might have tried forcing you, threw you down, beat you with the Bible, but that's not the love of God, is it? Okay, he just knocks at your heart. And it's not something you're going to feel physically. Though I have had some people say they feel like their heart was going to jump out of their chest. But it's a knocking at your heart, and he's knocking at your heart. And if you would say, Jesus, I would like you to come into my life. I am tired of being distant, and I would like you to be in my life. I definitely would like my sins, my past forgiven. I'd like a better life. I'd like to be loved by you. If that's you today and you'd say, Lord Jesus, I open the door of my heart. Would you just raise your hand? And by raising your hand, you're saying, yeah, that's me. I would like Jesus. I'm opening my door for Jesus to come into my life. I'm opening my door for Jesus to come in my life. So he would come in and be the center of my life. The Lord of my life, the forgiver of my sins, the one who just loves me. Okay, I see those hands. Thank you. I see your hand. You can put it down. Thank you. I see your hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? You just raise your hand and say, I would like to ask the Lord Jesus to come into my life. I would like him. And you know, if you're not ashamed of him, you should raise your hand. He's not going to be ashamed of you someday. So raise your hand. If there's anybody here, that say, I'd like to raise my hand. Okay, I see that hand. Now, we're all going to pray this prayer. There's about five people.